I did a lot of freelancing, you know, in Los Angeles, you know, a lot of sessions. That's when I joined up with Doug Kwan. He was very innovative, you know, very creative guy, you know, and it was a great experience, you know, working with him. He's the one that introduced me to Maurice White, Earth, Wind & Fire. Maurice heard that I was in town, and he communicated to Doug that, you know, they're looking for a horn player, you know, to be a part of the band. And Doug recommended me. I mean, he could have selfishly said, no, I'm keeping Ronnie in this band. I followed through on that and went an audition, thinking that I was going to be a part of a horn section, because in those days, in R&B bands, they all had horn sections. But when Maurice heard me play, he said, you know, Ronnie, we're just going to go with the one horn, which I thought was, you know, that was a pretty unique thing to do, because as I said, you know, most of the R&B bands, they all had horn sections. It turned out to be an epic thing, and you know, with the sound of Earth, Wind & Fire. Something different, you know, for me, you know, as a solo artist. So, interestingly, when I left the group, it wasn't a good break. Maurice didn't, you know, he didn't accept that too well. I had the opportunity to go further and be a part of a musician that I had always really looked forward to working with, Hugh Masekela from South Africa. Back when I was in college, he had a big record called Grazing in the Grass. When that record was released, I expressed to one of my classmates, I said, you know, one day I'm going to play with this guy. It was sort of prophetic, because it, you know, turned out the opportunity was given me to work with him. It was him that, you know, that sort of kicked me out. You know, I mean, it was in a loving way, but he recognized, he saw certain qualities in me as a musician and an artist. And he said, Ronnie, you should do your own thing, man. You know, I'm not imitating the way he spoke, you know. He said, it's time for you to do your own thing, man, you know. And it was at that point that it was like a redirection in that area of being a solo artist.
happens in this universe has to be the way it is. Things happen the way they should.
It's all the same number. What are the odds of that?
You happy with your life? Don't you want it all?
It said that would happen right when it did.
Where's our dog?
We don't have a dog.
Do we go backwards again?
Everything you said would come true has.
I changed something. Erased something.
We're not meant to be here.
Life sometimes goes like you don't expect it to.
What did you do to me?
Turn it off.
Hello, this is Chris Thomas King from New Orleans, and you're listening to WRCT in Pittsburgh.
Well, 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 I love the lie and lie the love, hanging on, we push and shove, possession is the motivation, messing up the whole damn nation, looks like we always end. Trying to make it real compared to what? Oh, no, no, no. Well, it ends.
Look at slaughterhouse is killing hogs. Twisted children killing frogs. Pour down rednecks rolling logs. But I love that stinking butt. I can't use it now. Trying to make it real compared to what?
Filling us with fright, teaching what they think is right. Oh, well, they all got to be some kind of nut. Oh, dig it. Trying to make it real compared to what? Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right.
One when mothers need abortion. It kind of brings to mind old young King Tut. He did it now, trying to make it real compared to where.
Downtown. All right. All right. So,
Sample.
Hey, this is Carm Auger.
Hey, this is Julian Corio from the Corio Auger Sample Trio, and you're listening to One to One, WRCT Pittsburgh.
Flying, feeling right.
taller. 'Cause 200 pounds of weight I put down. Oh, baby, thank you for stressing me, pressing me. Now I'm a diamond, and when they ask me,
never been better.
Baby, I'm shining.
Never been better.
Listen, no need to call me again. Mailed your belongings, changed my.
Leave home, girl. superficial. An elegant hustler. But don't you cry on no trail.
July 1970, Electric Lady Studios, Jimmy's pride and joy. This is something that he had built up with his own sweat and blood, with money that he had earned on the road. This was his new home. This is his place where he can go and create and feel free to express himself any way he wanted to.
Here comes Dolly.
I think Dolly Dagger is a wonderful example of where Jimmy was at that particular time. You can hear the funk of that guitar. That's going to drive the track, because the original guitar track, which is this, is just a scratch, but now we got the meat.
Lady provided us a place where we could, it was our laboratory. It was a place where we could go in and experiment.
Interestingly enough, what we're doing, he's using his original lead guitar that was cut as the basic track. That's the new, that is the lead guitar. He never replaced that. However, he did add extras. A super clean one, which goes along with...
There was thought of implementing or going in certain other musical directions, which made a lot of sense.
Get along, get along, get along.
And in true 70s fashion.
Heavy mama.
Heavy mama, get it on, get it on.
Get along, get along. Dolly.
But what a great blend of vocals. Jimmy sits perfectly in there. He knows exactly where to put his voice, what pitch, where it should sit with in relation to the Ghetto Fighters. Masterful.
We went in and we were free to create and create to our utmost.
And the great Steve Winwood quote from Billy. So solid, so reliable, he's Jimmy's anchor. This man is just fantastic.
When Billy came into the band properly, if there's such a thing, as a three-piece unit, it gave me a lot more freedom. And I just started to feel incredibly happy.
I think it's a very cool balance of power between Mitch's newfound funkiness, if you will, integrated with his jazz feel, and Billy's solidness down below, keeping it all tied together. And the fact that they communicated very, very well, the three of them.
She's satisfied till she gets what she's after.
I think Dolly Dagger is a great example of Jimmy's new sound. And I think he was very excited about playing this live.
And some of the new songs, yeah, we just played them, say, the one time, or just had the rough ideas of them in the studio. And it was using the stage to actually build them up and try them. And it felt good for that.
Baby. Hey!
Sleep and retire, and don't have to worry about my children, because this is a hard world. Don't nobody give you nothing. You have to work for it. Right?
Right.
So I'm blessed to be able to beat up everybody, so I want to beat up everybody until I can't beat them no more. If I can go 10 more years, I'm going to keep on doing it.
Good. Most of your poems, like the one you spoke a few moments ago, are funny. But you've written one about your own people, I think at the time of the Attica prison riot. It's a serious poem. You have certainly very serious moments, as you've shown us tonight. Could you, before we go, just say that poem for us?
Oh, this poem explains the Attica prison. You heard that over here when all the black prisoners were shot, and just before they held some white hostages, and they said they would cut the throats if they didn't get what they wanted. And the word was, well, if the throats are cut, then shoot and kill everybody. They found out during the autopsy that the throats were not cut. They just shot them for nothing. The trigger-happy policeman. And that Rockefeller gave word 10 minutes or so, if they don't give up, I think it's the way it went, open fire. And one black prisoner came out to speak to the warden. And he said, you have 10 minutes to surrender. What's your reply? Are we going to come in shooting? And the black prisoner came out, poetic poem. This didn't happen, but this is what I wrote. He said, better far from all I see, to die fighting to be free, what more fitting end could be? Better surely than in some bed where in broken health I'm led, lingering until I'm dead. Better than with prayers and pleas are in the clutch of some disease, wasting slowly by degrees. Better than of heart attack are some dose of drug I lack. Let me die by being black. Better far that I should go, standing here against the foe. Is there sweeter death to know? Better than the bloody stain on some highway where I'm lain, torn by flying glass and pain. Better call in death to come than to die another dumb, muted victim in the slum. Better than of this prison rot, if there's any choice I've got, kill me here on the spot. Better far my fight to wage now while my blood boils with rage, lest it cool with ancient age. Better violent for us to die than to Uncle Tom and try, making peace just to live a lie. Better now that I say my sooth, I'm gonna die demanding truth while I'm still akin to youth. Better now than later on, now that fear of death is gone, never mind another darn. They opened fire on them, but they died telling it like it was.
You have understood the riddles of the ages. Yes, and
There ain't no, there ain't no, there ain't no. Jake at Madison Square Garden last night. You can see the contrast in their styles. It's Speedy, Ray Robinson, up on his toes, the dancing master, LaMotta the brawler, Jose fighting for the most of the time. Now we...
again. So, them tell we say Christopher Columbus discovered Jamaica and this part of the world. Well, Most people know I say not no go so. We agree with that. But we really understand how is it that a one guy come clear across us all and decide say him is the founder of so much islands when it was nothing in Europe. And Europe was almost like a, what they would call a backward place before the Moors enter into Granada in Spain. It wasn't really any high quality life. Christopher Columbus born in a place named Genoa in Italy. And he was a sail upon the ship them from Portugal. And we must remember that the Portuguese is one of the first European countries to enslave African people. Don't forget that. The Portuguese were the first European country to enslave, well, and I said the first, one of the first to really enslave Africans. And Christopher Columbus was on those ships that used to venture into Europe, into Africa. Christopher Columbus. When Christopher Columbus got to Spain, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella. Why we are telling this story is because something happened that we miss in the history when we talk about 1492. Because that is really what them give it. 1492, Christopher Columbus come across us all and really create havoc amongst the indigenous people. And when them tell you, say, the Arawaks or the Tainos were the first people to inhabit here. But Africans was here too. Africans was here too. Africans was here thousands of years before Christopher Columbus come here. So, in the Americas, as they would call it, Africans ventured into these parts of the world thousands of years. Anyway, the man named Christopher Columbus wanted to go to India. India he wanted to go. And he needed some ship, but he couldn't get the ship them. So he go to King Ferdinand, Queen Isabella, to get the ship them, for venture. And he get three ships, but he couldn't get nobody to come with him. Because the Europeans thought that if you go too far out in the sea, you'd fall off. Because you have some people that know what about the world flat, the earth flat, and all them foolishness there. But him thought, and the people them in Europe thought, that the further you go to the horizon, it's far, you're going to fire off, you're going to see some beasts and all these things. Well, Christopher said he want to take the chance. Because he said he can't travel west to go east, not knowing that what goes around come around. And it's really India and the adventure out to go, but he must travel in the other way. So Christopher Columbus got into the prisons in Spain and take out the murderers and the thieves and the pedophiles and all these people and promise them land if they would go with him. Well, if you promise me gold and free freedom from the jail, me take the chance. So a whole heap of people take the chance and go with him on the tree ship them. But what them don't tell you that there were Moors on the ship. There were African people on the ship. The chief navigators on these ships was Moors, because them know about navigation. They developed navigation years ago. Long time, them developed navigation. Well, Christopher Columbus